Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 38. The agreement of the people. In view of all this, we're making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. Those who sealed it were Nehemiah the governor, the son of Hakaliah, Zedekiah, Sariah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pasha, Amariah, Malkijah, Hattush, Shebaniah, Malluch, Harim, Merimoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnithon, Baruch, Meshullam, Abijah, Mijamin, Maziah, Bilgai, Shemaiah. These were the priests. The Levites, Jeshua, son of Azaniah, Binui, the son of Henadad, Kadmiel, and their associates, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kalita, Peliah, Hanan, Micah, Rehob, Hashabiah, Zachar, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Bani, Beninu. The leaders of the people, Parosh, Pahath-Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Asgad, Bibai, Adonijah, Bigvai, Adin, Atta, Hezekiah, Azur, Hodiah, Hashem, Bizai, Harif, Anathoth, Nebai, Magpiash, Meshelam, Hezir, Meshezebel, Zadok, Jadua, Pelatiah, Hanan, Aniah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Hashub, Halohesh, Pilha, Shobek, Reham, Hashabna, Masiah, Ahiah, Hanan, Anna, Malak, Harim, and Bana. The rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who are able to understand, all these now join their brothers, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord, our Lord. We promise not to give our daughters in marriage to the peoples around us or take their daughters for our sons. When the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Sabbath, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on any holy day. Every seventh year we will forgo working on the land and will cancel all debts. We assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands to give a third of a shekel each year for the service of the house of our God, for the bread set out on the table, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbaths, new moons festivals, and appointed feasts, for the holy offerings, for sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and for all the duties of the house of our God. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people, have cast lots to determine when each of our families is to bring to the house of our God at set times each year a contribution of wood to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. We also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and of every fruit tree. As it is also written in the law, we will bring the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, of our herds and of our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests ministering there. Moreover, we will bring to the storerooms of the house of our God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of all our trees, and of our new wine and oil. And we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all the towns where we work. A priest descended from Aaron is to accompany the Levites when they receive the tithes, and the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithes up to the house of our God, to the storerooms of the treasury. The people of Israel, including the Levites, are to bring their contribution of grain, new wine, and oil to the storerooms, where the articles for the sanctuary are kept, and where the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the singers stay. We will not neglect the house of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Why don't we pray? I think I need to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's living and active. It's life to us. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help me as I preach. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes that we might see wondrous things in your law. Amen. A friend of mine the other day, who is a vicar, he rang me up and he said, "What are you doing on Friday night?" You know, sometimes people do that. You go, and your heart goes, "It really depends what it is." He goes, "No, what are you doing?" I go, "Oh, I might be doing something depending on what it is you're going to take me to." And Friday is my day off, and my friend said, "We're going to a prayer meeting." I went, "Oh, God. I don't want to be, last thing I want to be doing on my day off is praying. I can't do that all week." Praying? He said, "Yeah, it's going to be brilliant." I said, "Oh, all right." Well, you know, he said, "It's in the Excel Centre." Really? I've got to go. Not only have I got to go and pray, I've got to go all the way to the East End of London to do it. He said, "Okay." I said, "Okay, we'll go." So I met him, my friend, outside Custom House Tube, and there he was, and we went to the prayer meeting. And how many people do you think were at the prayer meeting? I'll tell you how many people were at the prayer meeting. 45,000 people were at the prayer meeting. And we arrived, and they were already rolling. And this wasn't just any old prayer meeting, it was an all-night prayer meeting. We were part-timers, we were only there for till 11:15, they were still arriving. "Where are you guys going?" And and a Baptist pastor, African pastor, the 45,000 people were mainly Africans, there are many Nigerians, Ugandans who live in this country, and a Baptist pastor stood up for we had an hour segment, and he preached, and he said, "For this hour, we are going to preach for this land. The land that sent people to tell us of Jesus Christ. The men and women of this nation came with news of Jesus and died to tell us it. And they have forgotten their God. They've forgotten their scriptures. And we must pray for the sons and daughters of this land." And then we prayed. Man, you pray with 45,000 people. They were off, man. They didn't need a lot of encouragement. And there was a woman in front of me, and it was a family outing. So we had babies, we had mums, dads, kids, with children sleeping on the seats. And this woman, I was just watching her pray, and she had her baby clasped to her, and she was weeping and praying for you and for me, for this land, praying for the land. And why am I telling you that story? Because it's the book of Nehemiah. We've been preaching through this book of Nehemiah. And we've been preaching through it for 4 months. And a little bit of background. But we're about 700 years before Jesus. And this man called Nehemiah who he's not a religious guy. He's not a vicar in the Church of England. He's an administrator. He's a businessman. He's the cupbearer to the king. And he's exiled. So the people of God are exiled in Babylon. And he hears news that Jerusalem, the once glorious city of David, has fallen into disrepair. And so it breaks his heart in the same way that the heartbreak of those Nigerian Christians for this land. It breaks his heart. And he says this. He says in chapter 1, verse 4, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept like the woman in the row in front of me in the exile center. I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And what he then does is he goes to the king, and by the grace of God, the king gives him resources and gives him letters, and he goes to Jerusalem. He travels, he makes a long journey with a small number of people and arrives in Jerusalem. And then the first 8 chapters of the book, which you've missed, they rebuild, he organizes the people to rebuild the walls of the city. He says, "We are going to rebuild this city." And that rebuilding is opposed. There's 2 characters. I commend you reading the book of Nehemiah. Sanballat and Tobiah. And they oppose the rebuilding. But in 52 days, they've rebuilt the city. They've got the walls done. They've got the gates hung. Everything is done. But in this section, that section that we read from chapter 9 onwards, what becomes clear is it's not just physical things. It's not just bricks and mortar and walls that need to be rebuilt. The hearts of God's people need to be rebuilt. We read in Romans that faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Romans 1 verse 17. And the method, and it's always been the method for rebuilding a people, is that the word of God would be spoken over the people. And in chapter 9 verse 2, that's exactly what happens. Everybody gathers. Chapter 9, verse 2, let me read this to you. "They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day." Now, you thought we had a long reading. They would have been read the first 5 books of the Bible. Took a quarter of a day. And then we read, they spent the next quarter of the day repenting of their sins. And then we read this in chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. This is Nehemiah's prayer. "You alone are the Lord who made the heavens. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you." And there's, when the word of God is read to the people, there are 3 things that happen, and I'm going to deal with them quickly. The first thing is personal conviction. The second thing is a corporate commitment. And the third thing is a birthing of a deep desire. A deep desire. So the personal commitment. You see, the impact when the word of God that has been neglected is read, the leaders, and most importantly, Nehemiah, he leads the charge, say, we've got to do something about this. And we read that they say they make a binding agreement. So they literally write their names down. They say, as for me and my family, we're going to follow the Lord. And it starts with Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, I'm up, pen, boom, I'm in. And then all those other names say, I'm in too. And a whole people, a whole nation decide to return to the God who made them, who loved them, who's their covenant loving God. What a glorious day that must have been. But there's something amazing about being prepared to put voice to your following of the God you love who died for you. So that's what we've seen this morning. Felicity has put voice to say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And the mark of that following is to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This week, Sue, who does a lot of our children's work, and I went round to see Felicity and Matthew to prepare them for this day. And I chatted with Felicity, and Sue chatted with Matthew. And we read a story out of the Jesus Storybook Bible. Everyone buy a copy. Read it to yourself and your children. And Sue was reading this story, and she asked Matthew about what he thought about it. And he said, Oh, I've told everybody in my school that I'm a Christian. She went, wow, that's brilliant. You know, have we told everyone in our office that we're a Christian? We told everyone in our family that we're a follower of Jesus. That's like, woo. There's a bit in Pilgrim's Progress where I like this. The man of very stout countenance. That's great, isn't it? The man of very stout countenance. He says, set my name down, sir. Set my name down, sir. The idea that following Jesus Christ doesn't take courage. I don't know where we get that. Maybe we've watched too many Jesus movies made in the 1950s with sort of, you know, bouffant hair. I don't know. Set my name down. Personal conviction. Second thing. Corporate commitment. You see, to follow Jesus meant for these Jews in Jerusalem, it meant a different way of living. It meant being distinct. So we read in verse 28, a separation from neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of their Lord. We're very time and place set. So we all have a lot of things that we think and things that we do and things that we think are okay because everybody does them. So if you were to take my great-grandmother and parachute her in to Richmond today and tell her how most people lead their lives, and what most people think is okay. So my great-grandmother, and you walked her up and around, and you said, and she saw all these people and said, well, gosh, you know. And you said, actually, most people don't bother getting married for a while. We've moved on that thing. She'd go, what? No, we just sort of, we live together, and then we see how it goes, and then we get married. right, gosh, okay. And then you took her to the Bentall Center and you said, she said, it's a Sunday. Everybody's in the Apple store. By the way, that looks interesting. She may not have said that. He said, oh, you know, we've done away with that whole Sabbath thing. Who needs a day's rest, eh? 7 days' work, we've just... Really? Gosh. We always used to sort of put a bit of food on, spend time with the family, have a sleep in the afternoon. You know, aren't you all exhausted? And that's exactly what's happening in Nehemiah. As the word of the Lord is read and the law of the law, the conviction on the heart that God's ways and God's call and God's covenant and God's people, and something goes on in the people and they sign up for it. They say, yes, we're going to repent. We're going to live differently. And one of the things they do, which is why I love the Bible and I love planning a sermon series when it all works, when I didn't know I was going to be doing this, it says this, as it is written in the law, we will bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle and our herds and our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests ministering there. What happens is the people of God bring, they remember the law, they remember their covenant God, the call to circumcise their sons on the eighth day. They remember to be generous, that God has called us to give to the house of our God, to the work of our God. It always amazes me at our AGM. We had our AGM, which never really gathers a massive crowd, you know, a Church of England Parish Church, AGM. AGM! We had our AGM, and it was amazing. It was amazing because we had testimony of four people who have seen Jesus Christ change their lives. And we always have a bit, which is the bit where we read out the elect... We don't read all the names like that, but we have the numbers on the electoral roll. And Anita stands up and says, the numbers for last year are 183, and the numbers for this year are... And we were up. It always pleases me when we're up. It's demoralizing to work all year and find they've gone down. So we were up. But what's amazing is that whatever it is, 183 people give over £300,000 to the work of God. That amazes me. That amazes me. Because that's a commitment of the people of God to give to the work of God for the glory of God. Final thing is a deep desire. Verse 39 says this, we will not neglect the house of our God. And if I read down the law of the Lord, that we have it chiseled on our wall, the Ten Commandments. And if I hold my... I'd love to be able to sign up. Don't you have that feeling? We think, when you read... I just think, oh, I'd like to sign a binding agreement with my God. I'm in. And then you think, oh, my record is a bit shaky. Because if anyone really had a good look at my record, at my Sabbath keeping, at my sexual ethics, at the things that go on in my head, how could I ever sign a binding agreement? But the amazing good news is that the true Nehemiah is Jesus Christ. And we read in Revelation chapter 5 that everyone is staring at a seal, and wondering who on earth is worthy. Who is worthy to break the seal so that the names can be read? Who's worthy? Who is worthy? Who could stand? I can't stand. You can't. Jesus Christ can stand. Because he made an agreement with his Father to go to the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for my sin and for your sin. He didn't neglect his duty where I have neglected my duty and you have neglected your duty. And we look around at our nation and we go, golly, we've all neglected our duty. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the call to bring your brokenness, bring your need, bring your sin, and place it at Jesus' feet and say, I'll sign up. If the qualification is a repentant sinner, then I can tick that box and sign my name. Make that your binding agreement this day, to sign your name, to follow.